Well, today's sermon is on the subject of bodybuilding, and I am not even kidding. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 to 16. If you'd like to take the Pew Bible, the red Pew Bible that we provide, you can follow along. What page is it? 1037. Page 1037 in that red Pew Bible, Ephesians chapter 4. This is the Apostle Paul's letter to believers in the ancient city of Ephesus. And as we get ready to read this text, we'll just think about what we've been looking at over the last couple of Sundays. We are asking the question, how can we grow in being a disciple-making church? If you were in the adult class, Paulo was talking about the challenge of discipleship. We can get people to come to church in different ways, and we're happy that you're here, and it's really good to attend worship together. But we are not necessarily living as disciples simply by showing up at church. That's a big part of it, a big part of our discipleship. And yet, what does it mean for us to be engaging in disciple making, not only here during this hour, but throughout our entire lives as a church together, in our separate callings, in our separate spheres of life? That's what we've been thinking about. And I don't know if you remember the three words that we've been hanging our thoughts on. They all start with E. Do you remember the first one 2 weeks ago? What word was it? Please tell. Engage. Yeah, we want to engage people with gospel truth. And then second, last week, do you remember what word it was? Established. Very good. Very good. So we want to not only engage people with gospel truth, but we want to establish them in gospel faith. And then today we are talking about equipping. Equipping members, right? The body of Christ has members. I mean, we think about members of a church, and many of you are members of this church. But we also know that Scripture teaches that the church is the body of Christ, or rather local churches are expressions of this universal body of Christ, and that we all have a part to play. Just as a body has members, we have a part to play in building up. This is where the bodybuilding analogy comes from, not in the way that you initially thought of when I mentioned that word, but we are called to build up the body of Christ. Let's listen to what Paul writes here. He's been, over the last few chapters of Ephesians, unfolding the gospel, the good news of Jesus. We have sang about that and prayed about it and read about it, and now he turns to deeds. He goes from doctrine to deeds. How should believers live? And at the beginning of chapter 4, he challenges them to pursue unity. And then from verse 7 on, he is going to challenge them to grow to maturity. So let's read from verse 7, Ephesians chapter 4. Now grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. For it says, when he ascended on high, he took the captives captive. He gave gifts to people. But what does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower parts of the earth? The one who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens to fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, to build up the body of Christ, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into maturity with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. Then we will no longer be little children, tossed by the waves and blown around by every wind of teaching, by human cunning, with cleverness in the techniques of deceit. But speaking the truth in love, let us grow in every way into him who is the head, Christ. From him, the whole body, fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament, promotes the growth of the body for building itself up in love by the proper working of each individual part. This is the word of God. And I want to briefly point out three principles that shape our understanding of equipping members for gospel service. or ministry. So we talked about engaging people with gospel truth, establishing believers in gospel faith, now equipping members for gospel service, for building up the body of Christ. Number one, Christ has given each believer a gift for ministry. If you're taking notes, jot that down. Christ has given each believer a gift for ministry. Look at verse 7. Now, grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Who is he writing to? Who is the us? Well, it's the saints who are at Ephesus. And often we think of saints as sort of, you know, maybe you have junior varsity Christians and saints are the varsity Christians. Saints are the elite. No, banish that from your mind. Everyone who is a believer in Jesus Christ, who has been regenerated by the Holy Spirit, is a saint, is a holy one, set apart from sin to God to live for him. So if you are a believer in Jesus, you can say, well, maybe it sounds a little proud, I'm a saint. Just say it. I mean, it's not proud if you're giving the glory to God, right? I am set apart, and it's Jesus who did this for me. I am a saint, a believer, and this truth, this is not only mentioned here, but it's elsewhere in the Bible that all believers in Jesus have been given at least one spiritual gift. Did you know that? You may have more, but you have at least one. You can read about this in Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Peter 4, listing of different spiritual gifts. But he says grace was given. You didn't earn it. In our world today, I mean, we so want to be gifted, and we you know, there are natural gifts that people have been endowed with. God has created people, Christian and non-Christian, with certain aptitudes, certain talents, certain abilities. But a spiritual gift is one that is empowered by the Holy Spirit. As a believer, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you, and he will enable you by giving you at least one gift by which you are to serve others, build up the body, glorify God, right? You've got different gifts. You've got teaching gifts, leadership gifts, serving gifts, mercy gifts, giving, healing. You've got all kinds of, you know, you can do a study on these on your own. But there are a variety of gifts. And Paul says grace was given. So it's not something you earn. It's a gift that you receive. And it's important that we don't think of gifts in a worldly way, because often in the world we think, well, I'm gifted, and the reason that I have a gift is to build myself up and to build a platform for myself, right? I can get followers. I can make money. I can do something better than everybody else. And that's a worldly way of thinking, because spiritual gifts are not at all meant simply for you. They're not about you. They're about God blessing others through you, which is an entirely different way to think about giftedness. Christ has given each believer a gift. Now, he quotes Psalm 68 about how he ascended on high, he took captives captive. This is a Psalm of David that portrays God as defeating his enemies, bringing back the spoils of victory, which would include enemies who were captive. And here Paul applies this to Jesus, who descended to the lower parts of the earth and yet ascended far above the heavens to fill all things. I mean, Jesus died for sin. He went to the lowest place. He descended even to death. He humbled himself to death on a cross, and then he ascended victorious. And it's because of his victory that we can receive the Holy Spirit and therefore be gifted. So it's Christ's victory that earns us the ability to have these spiritual gifts by which we bless others and glorify him. So here's a question for you. Do you know, first of all, do you know that as a believer you have a gift? And then second, do you know what it is? Do you know what your gift is or what your gifts are? There are books written about these, and they can be helpful, but my observation, what I've seen in my own life and in the lives of others that I know, is that the best way to discover your gift is to simply serve somebody. Simply love somebody. Because often the gifts are, so you can tell, right? Somebody cares about others and they think, I really want to explain the truth to them. I have this burden for that. I care about them. well, maybe you have a teaching gift, right? Because that's explaining the truth, right? And then other people, they listen to you and they say, that was helpful. That was clear. And then, oh, maybe I have a gift, right? Other people just love to give finances. They love to make write checks and make donations. Other people, they don't want to be up front in front of the microphone. They just want to serve behind the scenes, and they feel so satisfied doing that. It doesn't mean that we don't serve outside of our gifting. We're all called to serve in many ways. But often, if we just start serving, and in fact, I would say the other thing is, how important is it? I mean, we can't discover our gifts in isolation from the body. And the church is like a greenhouse in which spiritual gifts grow, but it's only by putting roots in to the soil of the church that you can really grow, right? It's belonging, it's investing, it's committing, and then I start to, oh, I have a place, I serve, I try this, I try that. This really works, this not so well. I feel alive when I do this, when I serve people in this way. Other people are confirming the gifts that I have, and that's an important process. But I would encourage and challenge you to pray about it, but also just start serving and see what God does. Many of you are serving already and have a good understanding about ways that God has gifted you. So Christ has given each believer a gift for ministry. That's number one. Second, Christ gifts people to equip believers for the work of ministry. Christ gifts people to equip believers for the work of ministry. So not only has the ascended Christ given gifts to all of his saints, but he has also given some with particular responsibilities for equipping the church. Look at verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Now, we know from earlier, if you read this whole letter, that Paul refers to apostles and prophets as those upon whom the foundation of the church was laid. And then he mentions three more kinds of ministers whom God gives to the church. Evangelists, those who are especially gifted to preach the good news of Jesus or present that in different settings. Of course, all believers should be excited about talking about Jesus, and we should be praying. We looked at that two Sundays ago. You know, in the letter to the Colossians where Paul says, you know, pray that God would open up a door and let your speech be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you know may know how to answer everyone. And so we should all be looking for opportunities, but some have a greater giftedness to speak, to preach the good news of Jesus Christ to those who don't know him. And I would just pause at this moment and just say, do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? We had a couple of men from Berean Baptist Church, which is just up the street. It's right next to Calvin Elementary. Many of you go to Calvin, your students at Calvin. And we had two guys that showed up at our door. And my wife answered the door. And she was really happy to know that these guys were Christians. And they were there to share the good news of Jesus. And then she said, you know, my husband is a pastor. And one of the guys said, is he saved? And I thought, that is a great question. That is a great question. Because being a pastor doesn't save you, right? Going to church itself doesn't save you. Having some ministry doesn't save you. Christ alone saves you. And if you are here and you have not been saved from the judgment against sin, saved from the righteous anger of God against all that you and I and all of us have done wrong, if we are not saved from that judgment that is to come by putting our faith in Jesus, then we have no hope in this world. We have only the expectation of darkness and wrath and hopelessness. And Jesus came into the world to save us from that. When he died and rose again, he did that so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be included in God's family, so that we can be part of his church. Are you saved? You can be saved by calling on the name of Jesus, asking him to forgive you. I'd love to talk more with you about that, pray for you, give you a Bible, talk to me after the service if you would like to know more. Evangelists communicate the good news. Pastors are shepherds in the church. And then there are teachers, those who are gifted to explain and apply and defend Scripture. So the way that Paul refers to pastors and teachers leads some to think of this as, you know, two points of one office, right? Because all pastors should be able to teach, but not all teachers are necessarily pastors. So some conclude that there are four sort of offices here. Some would say that there are five. But the important thing for us to understand is that Christ has given these individuals to the church to equip them. Look again at verse 12. To equip the saints for the work of ministry, to build up the body of Christ. So you know the old cliche, you can give a person a fish or teach him how to fish. You know that, right? If you give him a fish, you feed him for a day. If you teach him how to fish, you feed him for a lifetime. And this verse here really is getting at a similar sort of principle. I mean, we are called to be fishers of men, right? Fishers of people. And so we don't want to simply think that, well, we sort of hire some people to do that. And you know, that's our part. No, no. I mean, this is so important. Howard Hendricks, a seminary professor, said this to pastors. I'm paraphrasing him. He said this to pastors. God is not calling you to do the work of 10 people. He's calling you to equip 10 people to do the work he's called them to do. Does that make sense? Pastors, see, this is an error of thinking. We think we hire pastors to do the ministry and we just support them in doing the ministry. No. No, pastors are there to equip the church to do the work of ministry. That's the whole purpose. And if we don't change our thinking, the church's growth will be stunted. We'll hit a cap, right? We only grow if we take this to heart, that pastors and others are called to equip the saints for the work of ministry to build up the body. And of course, that happens primarily with the Word of God, doesn't it? In this passage, we read about the importance of coming to a knowledge of God's Son, unity in the faith, speaking the truth in love. And so the Word of God, I think about what Paul says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. He was speaking to Timothy, who was a young man, but that applies to men and women, right? We are called to equip others with the Word of God, the truth of God. And so we need to, in many ways, change our thinking. There's a lot of equipping going on here at Rowandale that I'm very excited about. In fact, if you look through the bulletin at all the different ministries, many of them are just led by volunteers. Pastors, you know, us three pastors are overseeing things. Our council members are overseeing different areas of ministry. We have formal ministries. We have youth volunteers. We've got young adults. I think about how there were like 50 young adults gathering, I think it was last Sunday, in a home. There's no pastors there. It's just, this is just Christians getting together, encouraging each other. And we see that all over our church. We see all kinds of ministry happening. And it's really, really exciting. We think about our visitation team that's visiting people in the hospital and care homes. We think about those who serve coffee, those who teach Sunday school. We have incredible volunteers who teach all ages during our classes. We've got these wonderful music team members. We've got sound people. We've got ushers. We've got greeters. And here's the thing. Our church will only be healthy if everybody is engaged and equipped for ministry. Christ has given each believer a gift for ministry. Second, Christ gifts people to equip believers for the work of ministry. Third, and finally, number three, Christ's church matures when every member is ministering. Christ's church matures when every member is ministering. Look at verse 13. Well, Paul has just said that the saints are to be equipped for the work of ministry to build up the body until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into maturity with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. So this image of a body is so instructive, because if you think about, you know, how a body develops, you think about a baby in the womb and all of its parts growing, you know, together. maybe at different rates, but they're growing together. And then you think of that newborn, and then a toddler, and then a child, and an adolescent, and an adult. They're all these stages, and everything has to work together in the body for it to grow. In the same way, for a church to grow requires that every member of the body is doing their part, is engaged, is equipped for ministry. There's a lot of writing about church growth, and if you just, you know, get the best preacher in there, and you make the music, you know, just the music is good enough, and the building, and the temperature, and the lighting, and the parking, and, you know, the coffee's got to be good, everything else is, you know, those things, yeah, they make a difference. But you can build a huge church that's immature, right? Mile wide, inch deep Christianity, it's pervasive. The kind of growth that we see here, yes, we want to see numbers, right? If we're preaching about Jesus, people should come to Christ, the church should grow numerically if it's healthy. But that's not all that's being talked about here. This is about unity in the faith, knowledge of God's Son, being mature, growing in godliness that reflects the character of Jesus Christ. And the result is that this kind of maturity keeps us from being blown around by all kinds of nonsense, all kinds of false teaching that's everywhere. It's online, it's on TV, it's everywhere. And it keeps us from being blown around by every wind of teaching. But verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, let us grow in every way into him who is the head, Christ. From him, the whole body, fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament, promotes the growth of the body for building itself up in love by the proper working of each individual part. Christ's church matures when every member is ministering. And so just as we wrap up, do you see yourself as a minister? Do you see yourself as a minister of the gospel? The word for ministry here is service. It's the word diakonia, that Greek word from which we get the office of deacon, which means servant, someone who serves. And it's also translated as ministry. And so the question is, do you see yourself? Yes, it's important that there are pastors who are ordained to gospel ministry and meet certain standards. That's all important. But do you see yourself as a minister of the gospel? If you are a believer in Jesus, that is what you are. That is what you are called to do. That is who you are called to be. And so I want to challenge you, all of us, to change our thinking. As you come to church, and not only at church, but in all of life, but as you come to church, I want you to tell yourself, I am a minister of the gospel. Today, God will give me an opportunity to bless someone, to encourage someone, to build someone up. This is the bodybuilding, right? Most of us are not going to be bodybuilders, but this is the kind of bodybuilding that we have an opportunity to be involved in. Maybe it's in the lobby. Maybe it's coffee time. Maybe it's formal ministry, becoming a teacher or a volunteer. Maybe it's informal, just sitting down, encouraging, praying for someone, helping someone, serving someone. When you do that, you are a minister of God's grace, a minister of the gospel. And as you do that, the church matures. The church grows. The body of Christ is built up. And God is glorified. We're going to say more about that, practically what this looks like next Sunday. But in the meantime, let's pray and ask the Lord to show us how he has called us to build up his church. Father in heaven, we thank you for this reminder, and we thank you for all of those who are serving, who are equipping themselves, being equipped for ministry. We pray that you would help us to do a better job of equipping your people for works of service, that you would be honored, that your church would grow, that we would be a healthy and increasingly a disciple-making church. And we pray this for the glory of Christ. In his name, amen.